In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Please be seated. Amen.
Each year, the Episcopal Church in Minnesota names a theme and mission. This year, it was racial reconciliation. The coming year, it's going to be the beloved community. You'll be hearing more about that in the next few months. What is a beloved community? Dr. Martin Luther King began using that phrase during the Civil Rights Movement. The King Center in Atlanta describes it as a global vision in which all people can share in the wealth of the earth. In the beloved community, poverty, hunger, and homelessness will not be tolerated because international standards of human decency will not allow it. Racism and all forms of discrimination, bigotry, and prejudice will be replaced by an all-inclusive spirit of sisterhood and brotherhood. How is King's beloved community a prescription for a healthy society? Fundamental to that concept is inclusiveness, both economic and social. The notion that all can share in the earth's bounty describes a society in which the social product is shared far more equally than it is in today's world. The beloved community also describes a society in which all are embraced and none discriminated against. You may remember that back in 2014, our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, was here at St. Mark's for a conference that was called The Beloved Community. He said the foundation for such a community must be four in number: love God, love your neighbor, love yourself, and change the world. In today's gospel reading, do we see any references to the notion of a beloved community? Jesus is speaking to the apostles to send them out on their own. He says, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor slave above the master." In other words, all are equal in God's eyes, and of course, all are beloved in God's eyes. I love the notion of a beloved community of unity and harmony among all peoples, in which the abundance of the earth is shared, mutual respect is a given, and reverence from God and for God is at the core of our lives. However, look around at our village, nation, and world. Do we see a beloved community? Our divisions are frustrating and seemingly do not have an end in sight. What's wrong? Well, notice Jesus saying that he did not come to bring peace to the earth, but a sword, and that he will bring divisions between sons, daughters, mothers, fathers, and entire families. Right from the very beginning, then, Jesus knew that his path would lead to divisions among peoples, and that his followers would face hardships, stumbling blocks, and divisions on their mission to create a beloved community. Why does the message of Jesus create divisions? Why do we still have a culture that chooses war, violence, and domination, hierarchy, power, status, wealth, and privilege, when the message of Jesus is to love each other with no exceptions? Jesus tells us that those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Another way of saying that is that we will lose our lives of ego and gain our authentic life of love and compassion and community. How do we lose our lives based on power and privilege and find our true lives as children of God? As individuals in a faith community, how are we a welcoming presence in heart and mind? How do we welcome those on the margins, those people that society struggles to see and love? Of course, some people are easier to love and maybe more welcome than others. As an individual in a faith community, Would we welcome equally the family of Philando Castile and Geronimo Yanez and his family? As a faith community, do we truly welcome all at God's table, or only some? Once people are welcomed, we need to listen to their story. Humans have a tendency to judge people before they have a chance to tell their story and share their true selves. Do not be afraid to listen. Become vulnerable and see Christ in each other. It is the best way of learning to know another child of God and be a person of humility and compassion rather than power and status. If you need some practice in listening, maybe stop into a shelter like the Dorothy Day Center, have lunch and just listen to stories. Or spend some time at the Minneapolis Central Library just listening. Or maybe a McDonald's in the inner city that you've never been to. Spend some time and just listen. Or if you really want to get out of your comfort zone, attend a church where you've never been and just listen. It could be enlightening. While it is not easy to welcome the stranger, to love our enemies, or to give up our perceived need for power, status, and privilege, God's message of love is freeing and liberating and entirely possible if we keep in mind the love of God and also the baptismal covenant, particularly the baptismal covenant for Christian mission and pilgrimages. I have some sayings from that covenant, and after each saying, if you would say with me, "I will with God's help." Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers? I will with God's help. Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? I will with God's help. Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God and Christ? I will with God's help. Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? I will with God's help. Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? I will with God's help. To quote Martin Sheen, an actor and Catholic activist, piety is something that you do alone. True freedom, spirituality, can only be achieved in community. May we strive to love God and have the grace to love and welcome all God's creation, love our neighbors and ourselves, and build the beloved community. Amen.